If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And if you need help finding the book of Jonah, it's after the book of Obadiah. The book of Jonah. This morning, we're going to consider Jonah's prayer in chapter 2, but I would like to begin reading in verse 17 of chapter 1. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Beloved, hear now the very word of God. Please give your careful attention to the reading of it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on to dry land. Amen. Thus far, the reading of his word. Well, beloved, just to catch you up a bit, in what has been happening with Jonah thus far in chapter 1. At the beginning of this wonderful book, we saw that God called Jonah, the son of Amittai, to go to Nineveh and to cry out against it, for their wickedness had come up to the Lord. Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent, however, and so he tried to run from the presence of the Lord. He got in a boat headed to Tarshish, and God hurled a storm on the sea that was so fierce it threatened to break the ship apart. And after determining that Jonah was the cause of the storm and their trouble, the sailors who were with Jonah threw Jonah overboard. The sailors did what God commanded be done to Jonah. God came through with what Jonah knew he would do. Jonah was cast into the sea, and the Lord calmed the sea. So this morning, we are going to consider his crying out to God. As Jonah thought that he was cast into the waters that would soon be his grave, he found out that what God prepared in the waters of the sea would be the means of his rescue and deliverance. I don't know how many of you have gone swimming in the ocean. Typically, we go to the beach, we play or swim in the water along the shore, but we don't go far out into the sea. We are even careful to watch our children to make sure that they are safe, and to teach them to stay close. Why do we do these things? Well, there are creatures in the sea that are dangerous. They are fun to look at on YouTube, but not in person, swimming close to us or coming at us even. The sea itself has currents and waves that are dangerous, especially to those who are in the water with no special gear or protection. One would be hard-pressed to survive in the deep sea alone. We like to play along the shore, but the deep sea is no playground. Strong men sail and die at sea. And so even though Jonah knew that he needed to be cast into the sea, the thoughts that were going through his head were very difficult as he considered his situation, his sin, and God's response. How do we know what he was thinking? Well, he tells us in today's text, through his cry to God in prayer. It was really a psalm of thanksgiving. From a literary structure perspective, we see that Jonah's prayer is organized in a similar fashion to other thanksgiving psalms. We see the petition for deliverance, the recounting of his situation and his crisis, the review of his deliverance, and then the praise for his deliverance. And before we look at this marvelous prayer, let's consider the means by which God delivered Jonah. In verse 17, we see Jonah's swallowed up. In verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This verse opens up by teaching us of the ongoing work of our God. Things worked out exactly in the way that God had planned. Just as the storm was from God's hand, just as the calm was from his hand. Soon, this fish was prepared to swallow up Jonah. And literally, in it being prepared, it was appointed by God. There are some other interesting facts that the Lord reveals to us about this fish in this verse. In God's appointment, this fish was exactly the right instrument for the task God appointed it to do. Further, it was in the right place at the right time in the vicinity of Jonah's boat. And we are told that it was a great fish. So this fish was very large in size, huge even. Think about it. It had to be large enough to hold Jonah, an adult man, in its belly. Some have thought that this fish was a whale. And we see the pictures in the children's books, and it may very well have been. Some translations translate it as whale. However, the Hebrew, or Greek in Matthew 12:40 for that matter, don't specify that. The Hebrew root word for this fish, daga, is the general word for fish. And the Greek words in Matthew 12 can be translated great fish or even a large sea monster. And so God's providing of this fish, though, was marvelous. God was the only one who could have prepared the fish. And it was special in that it would have had to have produced oxygen in its belly, if you think about it, for Jonah to breathe and stay alive. Further, the contents and enzymes in the stomach would have had to have been affected by God so that Jonah wasn't consumed or digested by the fish. And so this great fish swallowed Jonah. Jonah wasn't chewed up, he wasn't torn apart, but was swallowed whole. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. So why this 3 days and three nights length of stay? Why didn't God just use the fish as an efficient, quick transport vehicle to get Jonah to land the same day? Well, there are two reasons, at least, why this is important. Jonah being in the belly of the fish was a continued time of chastening by God as he worked on Jonah and taught him things regarding repentance, obedience, prayer, grace, and salvation. Jonah had time to contemplate, to think, and pray. Jonah was truly broken here. You know, God has a way of breaking down his servants, showing them that they are but clay, and then raising them up that they would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the glory of God. And here, God broke Jonah, taking him to the depths, to the brink of death, that Jonah would learn and grow in God's school of grace, prepared then to preach and to call Nineveh to repentance. And more importantly, as I've mentioned in times past, and as we see earlier in this book, as well as in Matthew 12, this event is pointing us to Christ himself. If you recall, Jesus and his words, as he was talking to some of the scribes and Pharisees, he spoke of this in Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41. And there we read, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here,' Christ said." My friends, Jonah points us to Christ. Jonah was the type. Jesus is the antitype, the substance. In both cases, there is a kind of death and resurrection. Jonah says in his prayer that his dying was as a descent into hell. And yet, God brought up Jonah's life from the pit. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so that he would be the type pointing to Christ. For Jesus was crucified and buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights before he rose from the dead. As Jonah's grave was a new one, so Christ was laid in a new tomb. As Jonah's life was sacrificed and restored, raised up from the belly of hell, so Christ died, sacrificing his life for sinners, and was raised, demonstrating his victory. Both events speak of the satisfaction of divine justice. Both events speak of the satisfaction of divine justice. Our Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 12 also that he is the greater than Jonah. Jonah was a prophet sent by and delivered by God. But Jesus is the Messiah, the true deliverer. Jesus is the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins. He bought and brought the true peace and reconciliation between us and the Father. Praise the Lord. And we see in Jonah's prayer being preserved alive, with his judgment and memory fully intact, Jonah prays, and he prays hard. Prayer is an essential piece in the life of the Christian, brothers and sisters. Prayer shouldn't be something that we just resort to when we are at the end of our rope, but rather it should be something that we are active in before our rope even begins. Humble, joyful, thankful, penitent, sometimes sorrowful and pain-filled cries of prayer to God. Make sure that you are committed to being that type of prayerful person. Remember, God spoke to Ananias and called Ananias in Acts chapter 9 to go to the house on the street called Straight and lay his hands on the penitent Paul. God told Ananias to do this, though Ananias knew Paul thus far as the one who put to death the saints. And yet God encouraged him that Paul prayed. And that was a sign that he was converted. Paul was a man of prayer to the living God. And so Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God in the midst of severe chastening. He recognized himself to be in covenant relationship with God. He recognized himself to be wedded to God and to God for God to be faithfully committed to him. And so Jonah prayed from the fish's belly. He could demonstrate the disposition that Job had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jonah was just about dead. The very point that he might give up, God gave him the grace to pray. He was in full surrender to God. And in this prayer, we really see two parts. We see Jonah's discussion and outline and details of the down parts and the depths of his despair. But we also see the victory of faith. And first, we consider his condition. And Jonah speaks of his condition in two areas: his spiritual troubles and his physical troubles. And the two run parallel with each other in this prayer. Hugh Martin, a well-known commentator on Jonah, said this: "The prayer of Jonah is an illustrious instance of the conflict between sense and faith. It discloses the action and reaction in the prophet's soul, sense prompting despair, faith pleading for hope and procuring victory." And so in verse 2, we see Jonah said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction." Jonah cried out and he answered me, Jonah said. Not only did he cry out, but he recognized that the Lord heard and answered his prayer. You know, like Jonah, we should take comfort in answered prayers. What a great comfort it is to know that in the depths of your trouble, in the depths maybe even of your despair, you have been heard by Almighty God. His answer may be yes. It may be no, it may be wait, but it is a tremendous comfort to know that our God hears our prayers and that he engages, he draws near in answering our prayers. We can agree with David in Psalm 65 when he said, "Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them." And indeed our Lord has, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we consider the content of Jonah's prayer, notice a couple of things. the descriptions and the illustrations of God's casting and Jonah's descent into the depths. And secondly, the glorious word yet, followed by words of faith. And thirdly, the temple language, as well as deliverance and salvation. He also informed us in verse 2 that he was in the belly of Sheol, literally the belly of hell. He was in the belly of the grave, and again he says, "And you heard my voice." He goes on in describing these depths in verse 3, "For you cast me into the deep." Now a question. If you remember the context in chapter 1, wasn't it the sailors who cast Jonah overboard? Yes, it was. However, Jonah was able to look beyond the men and to see that they were the instruments of God's action in casting him in. He then said, "And the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me." And here Jonah gives us a description of the physical reality of him sinking into the sea. "Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight." For Jonah, the ultimate horror of death was separation from the presence of the Lord. But yet, note the interesting fact about this. In chapter 1, this was the very thing that he ran from. He ran from the presence of the Lord. And now Jonah, in the belly of hell, recognizes that it would be a horrible thing to be separated from the presence of the Lord. And so it is in this time of chastening, in this place, that Jonah feels like he has been cast away from the presence of the Lord, cut off from all hope of life among men, rejected and forsaken. And in verses 5 through 6, Jonah then recounts more of his physical troubles. "The waters surrounded me," he said, "even to my soul." And even here, when he spoke to his physical troubles, he also relates it to spiritual troubles. But then he tells us of the weeds wrapped around his head, his descents into the moorings, down to the moorings of the mountains, even more vivid detail of the depths of the sea and the depth of his condition. But then how wonderfully we see, intermingled and shining through in this prayer, the hope of faith. In verse 4, a glorious turning point in the midst of despair. After saying he was cast out of God's sight, Jonah says, "Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." And he said something similar in verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Though Jonah's heart was riddled with fear, sorrow, and difficulties, he didn't direct his thoughts inward toward himself, but rather outward toward God. And here we see Jonah's faith as he longed for communion with God. He desired to look upon God's temple again. He desired that God would hear him and give Jonah comfort, strength, and aid. Remember, the temple in Jerusalem was the earthly location of the divine special presence of God. It was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was and the mercy seat, where propitiatory sacrifices were offered, where the high priest was. And these point us to Christ, by whom sin is expiated, sinners are forgiven, grace and favor are communicated, and where God commands blessing and everlasting life. And in verse 6, after speaking of his going down to the roots of the mountain, he tells of the great deliverance of God. "Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. There was nothing Jonah could do to rescue himself. His life was in the Lord's hand. God and God alone was the one who delivered Jonah, bringing up his life from the pit. And Jonah ends his prayer, notice, in worship. Verse 9, but Jonah said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says this, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Brothers and sisters, salvation is truly of the Lord. The Lord has brought up our lives from the pit, out of the miry clay, and has set our feet upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. And this truth and reality, like Jonah, should move us to praise and thanksgiving. We cannot but worship. We cannot but worship, knowing God and his great and wonderful work for us in Christ. And in verse 10, the Lord then spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. When God had Jonah at his mercy, he showed Jonah mercy. Jonah learned what God intended him to learn, and it would soon be time for Jonah to arise and to go and to preach. Jonah would need to get out of the fish's belly in order to go, and so in another piece of God's deliverance, he commands the fish to vomit Jonah out. And there are two interesting things about this. This is a type and figure of the resurrection of Christ. As on the third day Christ rose from the grave, so Jonah on the third day was spewed from the fish's mouth. And secondly, the location of Jonah being ejected from its mouth is important. If the fish spewed him out into the deep sea, he would have drowned. And yet, on the land, Jonah was where he needed to be to go forth and serve. And so I'll leave you with a few thoughts. God can and sometimes does miraculously preserve his people. Have some of you been inches away from death? Some of you probably have. Some of you have been in accidents or near accidents where sudden death was probable or possible. Wasn't Jonah inches away from death, and yet God preserved him? Jonah still had something to do to glorify God in this life, and so God is at work preserving and persevering us for his service as well. Be committed daily to serve him well. But also, we need to be a people who pray. If you are sitting here and thinking, I don't know how to pray. You know, I've tried, but I'm just not that good at it. I get self-conscious. I doubt. I don't know, so I don't, or I don't very often. Come, talk with me after the service. Talk with your elders, officers of this church. We'll help you. We need to pray to God every day, not just in perilous times where we are at the end of our rope and in desperate need of rescue, but also in the good times, in the joyful times, in the comfortable times. At all times, like Jonah, even like Paul told the church in Philippi, Our prayers need to include thanksgiving, along with our petitions and requests. But God gives us hope in otherwise hopeless situations and times, does He not? What hope does He give us? Well, truly, He has given us His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us His Spirit. He gives us His presence. He has given us His very Word. And like Jonah, we have hope in our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and consider afresh today the salvation that is yours in Christ. Remember, the hope that we have in Christ is a hope that won't disappoint, for He is faithful. He will keep His promises. And not only will He complete that good work that He has begun in you, but He is coming again in glory to take you home to glory to be with Him forever. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more battle, no more peril, no more temptation and wrestling with sin, but only joyous, glorious, worship-filled eternity with the One who loves us with an everlasting love. So wonderful. So true. For He is faithful, and He has promised. He has guaranteed that to His beloved. So may God indeed grant us grace as we consider Jonah's prayer, to remember the great mercy, the great deliverance, and the great salvation of our God.